This is Chasing Wisdom, your source for conversation and serious ideas for those striving to become wiser leaders in business. Your host is Dr. Sam Serto. Sam is the Steinmetz Professor of Management in the Graduate School of Business at Rollins College in Winter Park, Florida. He also serves as a leader at Northland, a church distributed located in Central Florida. Along with leaders from various fields, our goal is to provide practical wisdom for those navigating real-world business challenges. Welcome to this conversation about how to become a wiser leader in business, Bible, and life.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Sam Serto, and you're listening to the Chasing Wisdom podcast. Here, leaders talk about business, Bible, and life to help all of us become wiser leaders. Today, our special guest is Tim DeTellis. Tim serves as president of New Missions, educating over 10,000 children from Haiti and the Dominican Republic. Tim's latest book, Good Neighbors Make Great Neighborhoods, may where you live be better because of you. This book helps others remove the fear of reaching their neighbors. He is the author of several other books, including Be Worth Following, The Seven Priorities of a Leader, and Build Your Cause, The Five Phases to Do Good Better. Tim is a frequent speaker at churches and conferences and lives outside of Orlando in Eustis, Florida. He enjoys mentoring young leaders and helping others fulfill their God-given potential. Tim, welcome today. It's great to have you here.
Honored to be with you.
All right, terrific. You know, before we get started, why don't you give us a little bit? I love the titles of your books.
Thank you.
Tremendous. and let's have a little bit of a profile about your latest book.
Sure.
Great Neighbors Make Great Neighborhoods.
Yeah, that book was written because I did not always love my neighbors. And so it opens up with a confession story. I was living actually in Altamont Springs and knew I had a neighbor on the left and the right of me, knew their first names, but knew nothing about their lives. Unfortunately, I would travel the country and speak at churches and share a message on your mission field is right where you are, but I would go home and escape to the backyard and the pool and ignore my neighbors. My mother-in-law became a widow, and my wife thought maybe we should live closer to her. So we relocated out to Eustis, and actually it was really a God-given home where we live. And so we got to know our neighbors where we moved, and that's really the story of the book.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. So that's the insight that you have to share about new neighborhoods, becoming neighbors.
And yeah, the good neighbors becoming great neighbors is really about listening to your neighbors, spending time with them. There's in the book, I talk about the three different together times. We have a together time, a table time, and a teaching time. Mm-hmm. And it's important to just spend time with your neighbors. We have found that most often we go home and we, you know, kind of isolate ourselves. Right. So we invite our neighbors to all kinds of things, you know.
A lot of the people that listen to this podcast are involved in not-for-profit organizations. Sure. A lot of them are involved in for-profit organizations. And we kind of go back and forth. We have leaders from both types of organizations and share insights across organizations. And it seems to me that some of the things you're talking about also relate to leaders that are in for-profit organizations and those neighborhoods, in a sense, that are inside organizations and developing those relationships. Yeah. Does that make sense to you?
It does, because in the book, actually, and there's a gentleman, Dr. Rick Balmelje from Rollins, he influenced me greatly on the art of listening. And that's one thing we've implemented in the neighborhood is, and in the workplace, most people want to be appreciated and listened to. And that's the same in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Your neighbor doesn't really need to be ignored. They just want to know you're there, you care about them. So what I do, I'll text my neighbor when I meet him. I'll say, hey, would it be all right if I give you my cell phone number? And if you ever need anything, I live right around the corner. So in my neighborhood, I have literally dozens of phone numbers of neighbors. And we'll touch base on occasion if something's going on or they need help with something. And
awesome.
So, yeah, it's very kind.
Awesome. Sounds like a great culture for a business, too.
Yes, it does.
Dr. Balmelje is a good friend of mine, and he actually has done a podcast on listening.
He's a good man.
Our listeners probably recognize that name. Where can people get your book if they'd like?
They go to neighboringbook.com.
Okay.
Simply neighboringbook.com.
Perfect. Yeah. All right, now let's switch a little bit, and let's talk about your organization and your function in an organization
Sure.
and how it fits into its space. Tell us about New Missions.
So we've been in Haiti and the Dominican Republic since 1983. And we establish churches and schools, educate children, And it's been a difficult work. It's a hard place to serve. And we started in tents in 1983. But what's awesome is people have come alongside of organization now, and they'll sponsor a child in the school, and now those graduates are attorneys, doctors, teachers, nurses. So we've raised up a generation of Christian leaders that are truly impacting those nations.
That's an ominous task to take on a country and yes. say, I'm going to try to make a difference there, right? When you say we, you use the word, the pronoun
that
we.
That is correct.
Who does we include?
So we is anyone, friends and partners of New Missions. Way back in the history, you know, we'll be 35 years serving overseas this January, but it was founded by my mother and father, and I was just a young lad, went there as a missionary kid back in 1983.
Okay.
But the we is, I find myself really more of as a connector of people to do something great in this world, and so I'm not the only person in the story. There's a lot of great people that are a part of New Missions, both in Haiti and the Dominican. We have nationals that serve there as teachers, nurses, pastors. And then in the States, you know, partners, churches, and friends that support the organization so it can fulfill its cause.
So are there employees of New Missions?
Yes.
Okay. How many employees are there?
So internationally, we have close to 700 on staff that serve in Haiti and the Dominican. And then in Orlando, there's actually a small team. There's 10 of us here.
Okay. Okay. Terrific. And this, in a sense, is headquarters.
That's correct.
In the Orlando,
yes.
Florida area.
We're based here.
All right, good. And there are people listening to this as well in other countries across many borders. So maybe some people from Haiti will tune in as well.
I'm happy to listen with them.
That's good. And it's available on iTunes and also SoundCloud and the Northland site, Northland Church site. So when you think about Your staff here, what do some of those staff members include in terms of titles, in terms of the things that they do?
Here in Orlando, I have a chief of staff who oversees our team in regards to implementing projects and events. And then we have a campaign manager who helps us work with our campaigns throughout the year, like our shoebox drive, our Give Sneakers campaign. And then we also have some donor relations individuals that work with our partners and donors from around the country. We have a wonderful office manager who really keeps all the finances and works with, you know, the accountants and all those people on that side of the world. And so we're very interesting from the standpoint that the organization's kind of split in half in Orlando. Half of it is the external acquisition of funding and relations, and then the other half is the internal relations with partners and donors.
Okay. And you're the president?
Yes, sir.
All right. And when you think about the president's role, because we want to get into leadership as
sure.
well as the good that you're doing in the world, when you think about the president's role, what are the main activities that you pursue?
So I have three baskets that I function in. The first is lead. So I want to lead the organization, which is vision and outlook. And I like to say this often, I want to have a vision greater than my lifetime. And that's challenging because we want to tend to see the fulfillment in our time frame and go, wow, I did this. But I'm trying to sow seed and plant vision and opportunity so something will mature beyond my lifetime or even outlast me.
Okay.
So leadership. The second is what I call feeding the organization, and that's really communication. And so like I do a monthly video update for our organization. I write a tremendous amount of content for our web and internet and social media. But feeding the organization news and information on life change and stories of what impact is happening, feeding it. The third is interceding in prayer, but really then there's this acquisition side of me. And that's finding the new donors. I use the word intercede first because I do not want to just go pursue funding without filtering that through God's purpose and will, because I want it to be a fit. You know, someone would say, hey, I have some money I want to give the organization. My response would be, is this the best fit for both of us? Is this completing your missional strategy as a church? Don't just want you to give for the sake of giving.
Terrific. For those listening, if you're interested in going to the website of New Missions, it's very simple. It's newmissions.org, newmissions.org. Let's drill a little bit into your leadership thought. And I'm thinking about something very interesting you just said in terms of creating something that lives beyond your lifetime. drill into that a little bit.
So I'll give you a visual. When I first went to Haiti in 1983, we lived in tents, as I said earlier, but we began to plant trees alongside a river. It's actually really a stream in this first village we went to serve. And those trees were planted by the teenagers that were in our first church. But those trees are mature today. But the people that helped plant those trees aren't even alive. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we need to ask the question, what can I do today that maybe somebody else could benefit from long after I'm gone? And sometimes vision has to be greater than ourselves, and it's really for the betterment of the people or the place in which you're serving. And so I want to leave Eustis, where I live today, better for the next generation. So I'll mentor young leaders in my home because I want them to be better leaders in the community. And that'll be long after I'm gone.
Let me throw you a curveball. I know you're a baseball fan, so let me throw you a curveball. Let's move into the realm of for-profit with that same philosophy. And let's say that you owned a shoe store and that you had 10 employees and you thought that as a leader, you wanted to create something beyond your lifetime in terms of its worth. Is that possible?
It is through people. I'm convinced that, you know, any organization is really not about the organization itself. It's about the people of the organization. And any business is really not about the business itself, but it's about the people of the business. So you could look at any corporation anywhere in the world, and you could see their brand and their identity and their name. That's really not what they are or really who they are. Mm-hmm. They're people. Mm-hmm. And so to me, the influence and impact you make are in the people within your business or within your organization.
And that impact that you make can last multiple generations.
Absolutely.
Beyond
well,
your lifetime.
It does. For example, there's a gentleman who I've been mentoring, and he just signed to buy his first home. And in his family, this is a big, big deal. And so I know for his children and their children, that is a game changer.
And it increases not only the quality of life, but it changes the hearts of people.
Yes.
In what they're able to do in terms of contribution. Okay. Excellent. You like servant leadership.
I do.
Tell us what servant leadership is to you.
Servant leadership is looking at somebody else's potential and then asking yourself a question, how may I serve them? And, you know, most leaders think about, hey, I have an agenda, I have a goal, I want to get this accomplished. But when I look at somebody, I ask the question, you know, what is their potential? And then if that potential fits within the scope of the organization's goals, then that's a win-win. And too often we just want a warm body to get a task done versus empowering somebody to fulfill who God made them to be.
You talk about in your book about leadership. Mm-hmm. You talk about some characteristics of servant leaders. And one of the characteristics is to make it possible for people to win. Mm. And that you relate that ability to win to assigning individuals with certain gifting to certain activities.
Yeah, the phrase I use is I want to try to set someone up to win. And it's a different mindset than saying, hey, I'm going to force you to fail so you can learn from that struggle. But if I can set you up to win, because winning builds confidence. And so if I can give a team member little wins, knowing that they're going to achieve it, what's going to happen is the next day they're going to say, man, I'm going to swing for the fence because I can do this. And what I find, especially in young leaders, there was a guy actually I had a coffee with 2 weeks ago, and he told me, he goes, after the mentoring time, he goes, you instilled in me confidence I didn't have. And so now he's making job interviews and walking in going, I could have that position because he didn't have confidence. And it was just because someone didn't believe in him or set him up to win.
Terrific. Terrific. Leading with passion. That's another one of your axioms.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm convinced that passion is the transferable economy. I'm not going to buy from you, no matter what business you're in, unless you believe in it. So if you're selling me anything, if you don't believe in it, why should I consume it or buy? And that's true in any marketplace, especially in the for-profit and especially in the not-for-profit. If you don't believe in what you do, whatever that cause is, it could be making a great burger or it could be, you know, preaching a great message. If you don't believe in your message or believe in your product, then why should I be a part of it?
We have a feature in each podcast called Sunday to Monday. Okay. And it's basically what might a verse be that you hear on Sunday that you could take into the workplace. And I think there is one that comes to my mind very close to this idea of passion and focus and moving forward. And it's Philippians 3, 13, 13 to 14, actually. And it goes like this. Forgetting what is behind and straining forward toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And you can almost see out of a starting block a leader kind of leaning forward in an effort to take off with that passion. Do those two, is that an illustration of what you're talking about?
It can be. And unfortunately, most leaders, they all face discouragement. I mean, it's just a reality of life. And I think that verse does give some encouragement into somebody's heart and mind to think, I need to keep striving. You know, we often want success yesterday, but it's going to take time. And if there's any encouragement I would give any leader, it would be that it would have that stick-to-itiveness, you know, to have a steadfast passion and calling and purpose in your life. It doesn't mean that you may switch locations and where you serve. You know, some people say, well, am I supposed to stay at the same place forever? Maybe not. But your personal values go with you, and your personal vision and drive go with you.
When we look at the idea of gifting, and I know you like to talk about gifting, what gifts do you look for in people? And what are the gifts you come across that others might think, well, I never thought about that as a gift?
Yeah. Two come to mind, but then probably a third. The first is definitely teachability. No one, including myself, will have any future potential without remaining teachable. That's number one. Number two is energy. Not so much not willing to work long hours, but just the idea that you're going to show up energized. We use a term internally at New Missions that one of our core values is self-motivation. Maturity is a sign of motivation. If I have to motivate you, then you're still in elementary school. But if you're self-motivated, you graduated, you know. So energy. And then a third I would probably put an asterisk on is that personal passion. Just to come back to that term, I love to see somebody's eyes wide open as if, hey, what's out there? You know, what could be? You know, just some sense of curiosity and passion for life.
So when you think about this as a leader then, you're trying to discover, you're looking for and trying to discover people who are teachable, passionate, and have energy.
Yes.
And you do that by observing. You do that by interacting.
And giving opportunity. One of my analogies I use a lot is I like to put the buoy halfway across the lake, and I'll put the buoy there for you. There's an opportunity, but you can't give passion. I can give opportunity. And so I'll put the buoy out there, but you need to swim to it. Now, I'll make sure that you have enough resources to get to the buoy, but if you don't swim there, I can't give you any more of the buoy.
So you do provide the resources.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
That would not be good. Okay. We also have an ending to a podcast called A Pearl of Wisdom.
Yeah.
And be faithful in the little things.
Yes.
Yeah. What's on your mind when you describe that as your pearl of wisdom?
What's on my mind in regards to being faithful in the little is a lot of my time is spent on a stage or maybe on a platform, or oftentimes in social media world, people see you in the light per se. Mm-hmm. But to me, the impact I'm making is really in what people don't see. You know, it's walking down a village path and going into a Haitian home, or being with an educator in a classroom in Haiti, where there is no internet, you know, there is no electricity. You're not going to see that per se unless, you know, maybe someone snaps a photograph. And so I believe in our lives, we can sometimes be too enticed by the big things and the big lights and the big stage, which I have the honor to be on at times. And I have to be cautious that they don't distract me from remaining faithful in the little. And so for what you may be doing today, walking down the hall and talking to someone in a cubicle and sharing something encouraging to that person, that is being faithful in the little. You know, taking the moment to listen to the customer on the phone, or for us, you know, talking to the donor who had somebody that lost their life, and we're going to care for that donor as a person, not just as a giver. That's being faithful in the little.
And would you say that being faithful in the little enables the greater to be accomplished?
I believe it does. And if you look at the life of Christ, he exemplified that. I mean, he was faithful in the little in so many ways. And I think that we can too often be, again, enticed by what we think is glamorous and big, but we need to be faithful in the little.
Thank you. Well, I hate to say this, but this is the ending time for your podcast.
Okay.
Already. People, I'm sure, wanting you to keep going, Tim. But thank you so much for being here. If listeners would like to get in touch with Tim, email address is Tim, T-I-M, at newmissions.org. Thanks to all of you for being here on Wisdom Wednesday. You can keep in touch with me on Facebook at chasing.wisdom or my website, chasewisdom.com. I'll see you next Wednesday. That's Wisdom Wednesday. Now, between now and then, keep chasing. God bless.
You've been listening to Chasing Wisdom with host Dr. Sam Serto. We would love to hear from you regarding this podcast. You can reach us at northlandchurch.net/chasingwisdom. We will be here each Wednesday with a fresh look at being a wiser leader in business, Bible, and life. Want to reach out to Dr. Serto? Email him at sserto@rollins.edu.